I'm Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing a wide range of research projects in which our academics are currently involved. With me today is Professor Charles Massoud, who is head of the Department of Arts and Languages and Education at the Faculty of Education here at the University. He also directs the Centre for Literacy, and he's here to talk mainly about the centre and its research work. And we're also joined by Ms. Ros Vella, who is research assistant within the same centre. Just a short word about Professor Massoud. He read for his first degree at the University of Malta and obtained postgraduate degrees from the Universities of Cambridge and London in the UK. He has conducted the first national literacy and numeracy surveys of all school children in Malta, which were reported in international journals. His interest in multiple literacies extends to the technology to promote literacy skills, and he leads a number of EU-funded projects, which are promoting the use of internet, video games, and mobile devices like PDAs and iPods to promote learning, especially language learning. He has confided to me, however, that in his next incarnation, he would like to be a cat, as he is envious of the long hours his eight cats spend sleeping in the garden, and I know exactly how he feels. Welcome to you both. Professor, perhaps you could start by telling us a little bit about the Centre for Literacy and some of its aims.
First of all, thank you very much for your kind invitation to be here with you and with your listeners this morning. This is a very rare opportunity where we get this chance to share our research, which doesn't happen that often, you know. So I think that's very important that we who labor at this university try to reach out to the larger community and let people know what we are up to. It's not just the teaching, but it's the research that we're involved in on a day-to-day basis. A number of years ago, the university deemed it fit to set up the Center for Literacy. Because, of course, literacy is an issue of national concern. So we reckon that it's important to have a research and development center. We are involved to some extent in teaching, but the main focus here is research and development. We look at literacy, we contemplate literacy in a broad sense. In terms of multiple literacies, we try to see what the needs are out there in larger society. Of course, main terrain for our operation are the schools, especially primary and secondary schools, but we are involved also in non-formal education, looking at adults' concerns with regard to basic skills. Of course, if you need to ensure that you have fully functioning citizens, you need to ensure that people have the basic skills to be able to function as school children when they're in school, and then later on when they're seeking employment and they're participating in society at large, they have the skills necessary to be able to communicate and to be critical of what's happening out there and to ensure that they can operate in a way which allows them to lead fulfilled lives. Yeah, so that's basically, I think, what we're looking at. But, of course, we can perhaps speak in more details about some of the work we're involved in.
Certainly, that sounds like an extremely wide remit. So a lot of possibilities for research in various directions. Perhaps we can discuss those. This is a very good example, as you intimated, of research that can really translate into action for change. I know that your centre has done various things, has conducted various types of research over these last years, which have had a direct an impact, or at least have been used as primary sources for the development of policy. In fact, one of the things you mentioned in your sort of mission statement, so to speak, on your website, is that the centre strives to improve practice and inform policy through the generation of knowledge by creating strong research. Can you give some examples of how the centre has actually done that?
Definitely of major importance were the national literacy surveys We conducted way back in 1999 and 2002, which involved all school children. In 1999, we assessed all school children in both Malta and Gozo in Maltese literacy skills and English literacy skills, and then we followed that up in 2002 with the same children to see the progress registered that. And then in 2004, we conducted a baseline national mathematics survey, which allowed us the opportunity to see, even there in the early years, what kind of mathematical skills our children have and how these compare with the skills of other children in other countries. That was what I considered to be basic research, which was very important because that created baseline benchmarks for us to be able to compare later results with that initial baseline and benchmark. And this primary data is used in national action plans. From time to time, when the government is asked to draw up national action plans for poverty, for example, and social exclusion by the EU, data which we make available to the respective ministries is used for such reports. And that gives us a very clear picture of the situation in Malta, in our schools, both with our children and in later years. Of course, that's of primary importance, and I think it's important that in the future we continue to provide this opportunity for others to look at our work and use that as source data for other research they may be engaged in. However, of course, then there are other projects which are of a more small scale than the larger ones, than the national studies, which increasingly and inevitably, I would say, nowadays involve the use of technologies in promoting literacy skills in both Maltese and English. Again, although our primary work is with schools, and we feel that our presence in schools is important because on a day-to-day basis we can participate in what's happening in our education institutions, sort of we're not in an ivory tower, but we are involved directly on a daily basis in what happens in schools and in other educational establishments. That is important. However, increasingly, we have become involved also in non-formal education and adult education, especially looking at the new technologies in terms of promoting literacy skills with adults, language learning, for example, through the use of mobile devices like iPods, the use of internet. And a more recent project is the one dealing with the use of video games to promote learning. You know now how widespread the video games are in our homes, especially with children, but even with adults, I think, too. And they have a certain appeal. There is a certain motivation in using these games. So we really need to study, as has happened in other countries, to how we can bring such devices, how they can come to play when we want to increase levels of motivations in our schools and other educational establishments.
So we're talking about literacy on a vertical level, so you've got basic skills, more sophisticated, and then sort of horizontally looking at the various types of different literacies that can be developed now with these new technologies. And of course, lifelong learning has become a sort of buzzword, really, in education. So you must be looking at that kind of
very
approach.
Much so, both lifelong learning, I would say, and life-wide learning, you know, in a broader sense. Because I think there are so many rapid developments, both in the field of education, things are changing so much, even from our own school days and how we used to do things even up to a few years ago. And because of the technologies, perhaps, things are changing so rapidly that it's important that we keep a broad mind and try to see what we can make use of. You know, up to a few years ago, the use of videos in schools was something innovative. Now it's a little bit passé. And the opportunities for the individual now to seek ways and means of learning. I mean, education, learning doesn't only happen in structured situations, in formal situations, but it's out there. You can have access to technologies, to other means. Then it's really up to you how far you want to go with your learning. So that's very important. The availability of the opportunities and tapping those opportunities and availing yourself of those opportunities.
So it's not trad versus new technologies. It's perhaps looking at both and seeing how you can sort of meld the two together sometimes.
Very much so. Going back to basics, but in an innovative way, in a creative way, but still going back to basics. So I think that's why a few years ago the primary research we did in school literacy skills, which are very much tightly connected, closely tied to home literacy skills, what the children bring from home, and then looking at school literacy skills. But of course, education doesn't stop with schooling, and you have to go beyond. So I think that primary research then, by giving us a clear picture of the situation with our school children, at that stage it was 7 and 10, all 7 and 10 year olds in Malta, then that allowed us to move beyond that and look at other opportunities for education beyond the school. So it's a mix of both, it's a marriage of both situations.
Perhaps I could turn to Ros Vella now and ask her a little bit about this fascinating idea of using video games to promote literacy.
Well, we know for a fact that nowadays children are spending countless hours playing computer games and video games. Research has shown that there's children can learn a lot through computer games and video games, so we wanted to see if this can be brought through to literacy development also. So our aim for the Centre for Literacy is to try and identify if literacy can be enhanced and can be developed through computer games and video games, but not only just when they play them at home, but we want to see if it can be incorporated within the lessons themselves. So like we were saying before, it's using the basic skills of teaching, but also incorporating them with modern ideas like computers and video games. It's like an attachment to teaching as it is today, because students today, they have to a certain extent a quite short attention span, so you need to keep them motivated and interested in what's going on. So ideally you find innovative ways to teach them, and we think and we hope to find out that computer games and video games can help keep children engaged within the lessons and also help them learn. And it's not only about learning, they know deliberately that they're learning without even being aware of it. They're enjoying it and having a good time, and they're learning as a secondary factor, not as the primary factor. For the teacher it would be the primary factor, but for them it's them having fun and getting to the next level and finding the next clue, conquering the next challenge. So that would be their primary factor, but for the teacher it would be them learning what there is meant to be learned through the game itself.
And how have you managed for the methodological aspect? Have you chosen particular schools, gone in, done pilot projects, or how are you going about finding out whether you are correct in your assumptions or hypotheses?
Well, right now we're in the initial stages of our research. We want to see if there is an interest, and so far there has been an interest with a few schools that we've been in contact with, and we've set up, we've identified a computer game which teaches literacy but is primarily a computer game, and
is that one that's sort of been produced abroad?
Yes, it's been produced abroad, so we want to find something that has been already created, so not something that we create ourselves, but something that was created to be in the form of a game. That has a storyline, that has interesting characters that appeal to students of the right age. And then the tasks would be, in this case, are literacy-based, but they're fun activities too. So they're playing the games, but they're reading and they're doing word challenges too. So, and we've seen that the students are enjoying the games from our preliminary research. We're going to try and identify if there is learning through the game by incorporating the game into the lesson, and we're going to compare it to classes that will not be doing the game itself to see if there is a difference after the game playing period with the classes.
And you found that there has been interest, a lot of interest in this idea of yours.
Yes, there has been a wide interest by the schools. The only drawbacks would be that sometimes the computer labs would be booked by other computer lessons going on, so it makes it a bit difficult. But where we've started working, in the school we're currently working, they've booked their, if the teacher knows when they're going to be playing the game, then they book in advance and it hasn't been a problem. But like in everything else, you need planning and preparation, and as the games are played on computers, that is somewhat of a limitation because there needs to be resources. So we need to find schools that would have those resources. And nowadays, school, it's important that schools are equipped with computers and teach ICT because it's the way forward. It's taken for granted that learning is, it's done through computers nowadays, and assignments in the future are done on computers, so it's good that schools are equipped with these things.
Abroad in, say, UK or probably in America even more, I would imagine that the use of video games for learning has been quite developed over these last years. However, is there enough software to actually be able to do this on a large scale? I mean, is this something that you can go and buy off the shelf for different age groups?
If I may come in here, we're looking at a lot of work emanating from the US and places like Scotland, for example, which are really doing this on a big scale. They have created an agency for this within their school system, within their educational system, which is promoting even some games which you wouldn't connect with education, like Guitar Hero, for example. I don't want to publicize any particular game, but even a game like that, you know, which involves rock bands, but it's amazing to see the kind of educational spin-offs or spin-offs for language learning and literacy there is from a game like that. But I think that's the next big challenge now. You have these huge companies who are producing these video games with very sophisticated graphics and animation, which really appeal to young children and older people too, I must say, who can spend hours and hours playing these games. So there is something there that we as educators need to look at, because the level of motivation there, the appeal of these games is very high. And increasingly I feel that the problem that we're finding, not just in Malta, but abroad, this seems to be widespread, that it's becoming more difficult to keep our children, our students, interested in school. Increasingly, you have students who become disengaged, you know, disengage themselves from school. It's very hard from year to year. Increasingly, it's a challenge for teachers to keep students motivated, to keep them on task, to keep them focused. So I think we have lessons to learn from the gaming industry, if you want to think about it like that. That there are lessons to be learned, but the biggest challenge now is to render more educational these video games in a way which would allow us to use such games more extensively in educational situations, in school settings. Of course, at this stage, we as a center, as a small center with limited funding, we're using commercially produced games. We're thinking in the future of using, right now they're off-the-shelf games, especially with which can be used on a PC or with a gaming console. But there are, of course, internet-based games, which are multiplayer, big multiplayer games. But the biggest challenge is how to render these games more educational, which teachers can feel more comfortable with using in their classrooms, which are directly associated with the school curriculum, with the specific subject syllabus they are working with. There is another issue we'd like to investigate in the future. This is one of our aspirations as a center, is to look at game design, because there is a lot, I think, to be gained from having students design their own games, their own educational games. But of course, that involves a lot of equipment, but we, even as a center, already in discussion with some companies and some colleagues from some people we know from the gaming industry in Malta who are willing to help us with that. But of course, we need to produce some preliminary research to be able to have something to show for it, that we can go to these people and say, look, we already have some preliminary results, some preliminary research and we would like to take this further, but we need to conduct this basic research first before we can move on to that stage. So yes, definitely, I think that's the next big challenge for us, to even as a small research and development center at the university, to look at such sophisticated technology and try to use it both within the classroom and beyond the classroom, even perhaps to the extent that we create some games which would be directly relevant to our schools. So then we can promote those and ensure that schools feel that they are getting something out of it too.
If someone were to make the comment, how are you going to keep up standards with these new technologies? How are you going to test abilities or gains made by your students with these, with this type of, I'm thinking particularly of the school context. People are quite traditional about that, and here in Malta we're absolutely fixated about examinations and testing and this sort of thing. Do you feel that with the new technologies one can keep up those standards?
Yes, but it's a big challenge, of course. However, although, yes, if you speak to parents, I'm a parent myself, if you talk to teachers, there is this concern, and we want to address that concern in terms of, okay, will the spelling be the same? Will the punctuation be accurate? Those are very important, of course. But it's already happening that our children and other people, not just children, are spending a lot of time playing these games. So the reality is there. We can't negate that reality. We can't deny that reality. So rather than fight it, I feel we need to work alongside it and see what's really attractive with these games, what's the appeal of these games, and bring those to bear on our educational strategies. We try to harness this technology to try to have a situation where students are even more motivated in school, not just when they are playing these games out of school. But I don't want to overemphasize the use of games. It's not just games. I mean, it's more widespread. Of course, there's still a very important role of the book, of reading in schools, of print. That's very important. That's our primary concern. Of course, inevitably, we as a center for literacy, we're looking at these new technologies because of the huge impact they're having on our society, especially on the younger generations. But of course, print is important, books are important, handling books, the concepts about print, we're all for that, you know. But inevitably, we have to look at the new media and see how these are impacting on the levels of literacy. So I think we need a good balance between accuracy, making sure, okay, the spelling is correct, that it's not like everything is acceptable, and that's very important, that we are accurate in our modes of communication, but of course looking at creative ways of promoting literacy. Not in a strictly, perhaps, traditional way, but I'm a big believer in basics, in going for the basics and going back to basics. But once the basics are solid, then I think we are part of the world and we need to go beyond that.
And this is, after all, a university context that we're talking about as well. And you are a researcher, you're a professor at a university. A university should be cutting edge. If we're not cutting edge here, if we're not anticipating here what is going to happen 10 years down the line, then I don't think we're doing our job properly, really.
Well, I mean, think of sort of that we need to serve as a beacon, sort of, not because we are on top of Tal Rahil only, and we can't afford to be an ivory tower at all costs, definitely. But I think we need to ensure and participate in maintaining standards, high quality standards. On the other hand, we need to look at what's happening out there, what the advancements are with regard to technology, even our notion of education, of who is a literate person, because again, we're thinking in terms of contexts of school children, people who perhaps fail in school or are illiterate as adults, but we contemplate literacy in a broader sense, even looking at perhaps we as members of university and our students. We need to look at our own literacy skills and how those can be improved, especially if you're thinking of multiple literacies. So there's always room for improvement, of achieving better, but doing this in a way which gives an widespread opportunities, perhaps, and not perhaps signing people off, but taking these challenges on board and ensuring that we as a society, we have the skills to face up to the challenges that exist already and which will come up in the future.
Well, moving on from a project which has been instigated by locally, so to speak, I notice also that you are involved in several projects which you are doing with universities abroad, with other institutions. Could you tell us something about those projects?
Yes, definitely. Of course, these are very important for us, especially participating in EU-funded projects for a number of reasons. One reason is, of course, that we get some funding from the EU to participate in such projects, and that gives us some seed funding for us to be able to engage perhaps additional staff on a part-time basis, and also to purchase equipment which we need for us to be able to participate in such projects. And of course, it's a little bit of a transfer of knowledge, because we're involved with a number of colleagues from other European universities. It's a bit of a give and take, okay? We don't just participate to take from a project, but we are able to contribute in many ways, and we have developed our own expertise on such projects, and now we have prospective coordinators who seek our expertise, especially when it comes to developing pedagogical frameworks for use in internet-based or mobile learning contexts. We have become a little bit of experts, even looking at our own publications list, in this field of creating pedagogical frameworks for both e-learning and mobile learning. So that's our contribution on these projects. But of course, again, being members of a national university, which is the only university on the island, we feel it's very important to have this opportunity to participate in these European-wide projects alongside other European partner universities, because this gives us the opportunity to be there and be fully involved in meetings, project meetings, especially where we can make our contribution, and keeps us au courant with what's happening in the mainstream with regards to developments in our particular field.
Thank you both very, very much for coming to talk to us, Professor Charles Massoud and Ms. Rose Vella from the Centre for Literacy here at the University. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
If you would like further details about the University of Malta's research projects or any other information, please access our website at www.um.edu.mt. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.